Okay, the first reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and that's on page 1188 of your pew Bibles. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and that's on page 1039 of your Bibles. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pause for prayer. Paul writes, all of you share in God's grace with me. Lord, thank you that we do indeed all share in your grace. Thank you that we're all part of your story. And thank you that you can speak to each one of us through your word. May you do so this morning, Lord, we pray. Amen. In this season of Advent, we're taking on something of a journey, aren't we, as we light the Advent candles week by week. There are all sorts of traditions within the wider church as to what these candles symbolise, but one version is that the first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of Advent, we think of the patriarchs, the second Sunday we think of the prophets, the third John the Baptist, and the fourth Mary. All people who played a key part in God's story through the ages. People that played their part leading to that pivotal point in history when Jesus himself came to be born as a baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And as we travel on this journey, we're reminded that we each have a part to play in the story as well, in this period between Christ's first coming and his promised return. As we share communion this morning, we'll be using some words which are quite familiar in the Eucharistic prayer. Are the ones we use virtually every week as we go through the year, and it contains this response. This is his story, this is our song, Hosanna in the highest. And that transitions as the prayer goes on to this is our story, this is our song, Hosanna in the highest. And we're reminded of the fact that we're caught up in God's big story. His story becomes our story. Our story is his story. Sometimes we can get the feeling that our lives are somewhat insignificant. Just watch these figures changing on the screen. The current world population is 7,084,108,412, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. We see the number of people being born, even today, 168,000 already. The number of people who died today, nearly 72,000. The population growth this year. Just take in those figures just for a moment as they change. As we think that we're just one tiny, tiny part of the world's population, we can think we're so insignificant. Our lives, in the overall scheme of things, are so mundane. But if we grasp the fact that we're caught up in God's story and that every life is significant, we gain a new perspective. If we can lose the figures, because otherwise you won't listen to a word I say, because you'll be waiting to pass the next milestone. Rob Parsons, many of you know, he's head of Care for the Family. And he's written a whole variety of books. And one of them is this book called The Heart of Success. The title isn't particularly significant for this morning. But in it, he writes movingly about his dad. And Rob Parsons' father was a postman for most of his working life. And Rob writes about how his dad would carefully lay out his uniform day in, day out. He'd take great care as he shaved, as he washed, as he cleaned his shoes. Sometimes Rob would catch him even cleaning the underside of his shoes, and he'd ask him, "Why on earth are you doing that? No one will see." And he'd respond just by saying, "Yes, but I'd know." And one day Rob asked him, "Don't you ever get bored of just pushing letters through people's doors?" And this was his dad's response. "Son, your father delivers the royal mail." He made it sound as if the Queen herself had asked him to do it. "People rely on me. Businesses, armies and police forces, friends and relatives from overseas. I deliver all their letters. You should come with me someday and see somebody waiting at their door to see if I've got a letter for them. It may be about a job they've been hoping for, or from a daughter they haven't heard from for a while. Or perhaps just a birthday card. No, son, I don't get bored." And Rob continues, "My father believed in the value of what he did." Each of us has a part to play. Each of us is caught up in God's big story. And we need to value the part that we can play. Throughout the Bible, we're reminded that our lives matter. When Isaiah wrote about preparing the way of the Lord, it was something that was to be fulfilled in the life of John the Baptist. But it's also something that can be fulfilled in each of our individual lives as well, preparing the way for the Lord's return. Just as the patriarchs, the prophets, John the Baptist and Mary were all caught up in God's purposes, so are we, and each of us plays a unique role. On Monday morning, when I got up and had my breakfast and I sat down to spend a bit of time just in reflection and praying and reading scripture, I suddenly changed my plan. Not completely, I didn't scrap it, but I picked this book up off a shelf, John Ortberg's The Me I Want to Be, Becoming God's Best Version of You. Some of you will have read books by John Ortberg in the past. And it's sort of brief chapters, 10 pages each, so it's sort of 10-minute read, which gives an opportunity to reflect afterwards. And I found it very inspiring as this week has gone on, as I've worked my way through the early chapters. And one of the things that struck me has been the emphasis on each individual playing their part in the working out of God's purposes in the way that is right for them. No one person in Scripture could have fulfilled the role anyone else did in the same way with the same outcome. And equally, no one of us can be or do exactly what the person sitting next to us this morning can be or do. Joe and I, we recognise our ministries are different, our strengths are different, our failings are different. It's no good us trying to be one another. We need to try and be God's best version of ourselves with the Spirit strengthening. And for each of us, the way we nurse, or the way we teach, or the way we parent, the way we relate to our peers, the way we give, all of those different things, we just have to be the person God has called us to be. But it's very easy for us to fall into faulty ways of thinking and behaving, to get somewhat warped views of ourselves. And in his book, John Ortberg highlights 5 traps we can easily fall into. We can get into a trap of trying to be the me I pretend to be. In other words, saying and doing things to create a particular impression, covering up who we really are because we want others to think well of us. The me I pretend to be. And then there's the me I think I should be, where we start playing the comparison game with others. We hear of someone else's prayer life and we start comparing ourselves to that and feel guilty and valueless. We see someone else who seems to have this amazing ability to make friends and socialise with others. And yet we know that actually we're quite shy and introverted. And we can think, surely I should be like that. The me I think I should be. Actually, God calls us to be ourselves, but the very best version of ourselves that we can be. And then there's the me other people want me to be. Ortberg writes, your boss wants you to be more productive, your health club wants you to be more fit, your credit card company wants you to spend more money, and restaurants want you to eat more food. Your dentist wants you to visit more often, and everybody has an agenda for you. If I spend my life trying to become that me, I will never be free. And then there's a me I'm afraid that God wants, where our view of God is one of rule enforcer rather than life giver. We've just got to try and follow all of the commands, try and work hard. God wants us to be that. God wants us to be perfect. Yes, God does have ways in which he wants us to live, but he's a life-giving God, not a restrictive God. So let's not fall into that trap of seeking to be the me we're afraid that God wants. And then there's the me that fails to be, where we fail to truly thrive because we've lost all sense of hope and meaning. We become cynical and world-weary and distant. I'm sure there's others too, but the me I pretend to be, the me I think I should be, the me other people want me to be, the me I'm afraid God wants, the me that fails to be. Each of these ways of thinking undermines and underplays God's plans and purposes for us. It means that we play by our rules, growing our story, rather than bothering about his story. And so I love it when Paul writes, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God at work in us. God transforming us to be the people he wants us to be, flourishing. When we allow God to work in us as we are, when we see ourselves as God sees us, and are at peace with who he's made us to be, we're free to partner together in the gospel, to truly share in God's grace, as Paul writes. We play our part in God's ongoing story, thus hastening Christ's return. And so let's rejoice this Advent in the very privilege of being caught up in his story and seek to be the people he wants us to be, filled with his Spirit, reaching out in love. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. And we're going to sing a song together which reminds us that we're part of God's big story. So if you'd like to stand, we're going to sing All My Days. I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to a fountain of delights. It speaks of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the risen one, heaven's champion, who reigns over all. And we're part of his great story. So let's stand and sing.